الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: النكاح من سنتي، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. அல்லாஹ் சுப்ஹானஹு வ தஆலா இனிஷியேட்டட் தி செயின் ஆஃப் ப்ரொஃபெட்ஹுட் வித் ஆதம் அலைஹி ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாம். அண்ட் கன்க்ளூடிட் திஸ் செயின் with the advent of our beloved Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. From amongst the approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa s-salam, the first prophet is Adam alayhi salatu was salam, and the last and final messenger is our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Bahisse rasadi laaye the shariat Isa o Musa, mukammal deen lekar hain Muhammad Mustafa aaye. محمد اور آدم کا تعلق اس سے ظاہر ہے، وہ لے کر ابتدا آئے، یہ لے کر انتہا آئے. From آدم علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام until our beloved نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم, according to the Islamic belief, every Nabi came with the religion Islam. Inna ad-deena indallahi al-Islam. The only religion acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. One who looks for a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted from him. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And such a person will be amongst the losers. In the hereafter. So Adam alayhi salatu was salam was sent with the religion Islam. Musa alayhi salatu was salam was sent with the religion Islam. Dawood alayhi salatu was salam was sent with the religion Islam. Isa alayhi salatu was salam was sent with the religion Islam. every Nabi who came into this world was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only religion accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. So Islam was the way of life for all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, and Islam was the way of life for all the ummats that came before our ummah, including our ummah. As far as the aqaid are concerned, they remained the same throughout. Iman billah, iman bil malaik, iman bil kutub, iman bil rusul, iman bil taqdeer. As far as the aqaid are concerned, they remained the same throughout. The only thing that changed was the worship and the mode of worship. So Islam began with the advent of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, and it evolved until it reached its completion upon the advent of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this announcement, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this day I have perfected your religion for you. So the chain of prophethood began with the advent of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, and it concluded with the coming of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last of the messengers, therefore the wahi that was revealed to him was the last of the revelations. So he is the final messenger, and the Quran is the final book. No book will be revealed after the glorious Quran. And the glorious Quran has abrogated all the scriptures that were revealed before the revelation of the glorious Quran. Now the Quran will reign until the day of Qiyamah. It will remain until the day of Qiyamah. It will reign until the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. It is we who have revealed this dhikr. Dhikr meaning the Quran. It is we who have revealed this Quran. And it is we who will preserve it until the day of Qiyamah. And alhamdulillah, 14 centuries have passed. And till today, not a single letter has changed. Not a single zabar, zair, pesh, fatha, dhamma, kasra, sukoon, tashdeed, not a single dot has changed. Muslims, non-Muslims, all are unanimous on this point. Those who have the knowledge of the scriptures, those who have the knowledge of the religion, that Quran has not changed in the 1400 years. It is in the same form that it was left in when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam departed from this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his qudra has preserved not only the words of the Quran, but he has preserved the pronunciation of the Quran. He has preserved the meaning of the Quran. And he has also preserved the practice of the Quran. So he has preserved the words of the Quran through the Huffaz. Thousands of Huffaz throughout centuries have memorized the Quran. So he has preserved the words of the Quran through the Huffaz. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the correct pronunciation of the Qur'an through the Qurra, the Qaris. And He has preserved the correct meaning of the Qur'an through the ulama, through the fuqaha, through the mufassirin. And He has preserved the practice of the Qur'an through the muttaqin servants, through the sulaha servants, through the very pious servants. So you will not find a single era in the 14 centuries where you would say that there were so many people who had memorized the words of the Quran, but there were not enough, or there wasn't anybody who had preserved the pronunciation of the Quran. Or there were people who had preserved the words of the Quran and the pronunciation of the Quran, but there were not enough ulama who could give the correct commentary of the Quran. Or there were enough people who had preserved the words of the Quran, the correct pronunciation of the Quran, and also the correct tafsir and the commentary of the Quran, but an era has passed, 5 years, 15 years, 50 years, 100 years in between somewhere, where there were not good Muslims who would practice the whole Quran. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the words of the Quran. He has preserved the correct pronunciation of the Quran. He has preserved the meaning of the Quran, the commentary of the Quran, and He has also preserved the correct practice of the Quran. Throughout centuries, in thousands, there were people in thousands who had memorized the Quran, who had memorized the Quran with correct pronunciation, who had understood the Quran, preserved the meaning of the Quran, and who had practiced the Quran. In thousands, sulaha, atqiya, in thousands, who had preserved the teachings of the Quran practically. It was in their lives. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not only memorize the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam memorized the words of the Quran. He also memorized the correct pronunciation of the Quran. He was fully aware of the tafsir of the whole Quran. And with that, he practiced the whole Quran. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was once asked by someone regarding the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you shed some light on the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ama takrawul Quran? Do you not read the Quran? So he said, yes, I read the Quran. He said, that is the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kana khuluquhu wal Quran. His life was nothing but the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had preserved the words of the Quran, the pronunciation of the Quran, the commentary of the Quran, and he had also preserved the teachings of the Quran practically in his life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the Quran from all these four angles until today. And it will remain preserved and protected from all these four angles, inshallah, until the day of Qiyamah. We are living in the UK, where life is very busy. We all have our priorities. Majority of us, unfortunately, have made material aspect our priorities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the correct understanding so that we are able to give priority to our spiritual aspect of our lives. So our priorities are material. And if our priorities are material, then obviously our children's priorities will be material. If our priorities are world, then the priorities of our children will be world. In this Western environment, in the UK, where priorities are enjoyment, priorities are amassing wealth, priorities are comfort of this world, priorities are good cars, good houses, factories, shops. But despite being in this environment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting these young children the interest and the zeal to memorize more than 6,000 verses of the Quran. And it is very surprising to the human intellect that so many children who memorize the Quran do not belong to religious backgrounds. You go to any madrasa and ask how many students have thus far memorized the Quran in your madrasa. And if the madrasa was to say 100, then more than 50% would belong to households which are not so religious. So who is instilling this thought in the minds of the parents or the minds of the children that you should become a hafiz? Who is instilling this thought? It is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the institution He has created to preserve His book. He has chosen the Huffaz to preserve the words of the Quran. He has chosen the Qurra, the Qaris, to preserve the correct pronunciation of the Quran. He has chosen the Ulama and the Fuqaha and the Mufassirin and the Muhaddisin to preserve the meaning of the Quran. And He has preserved the Sulaha and the Mashayikh and the Muttaqin, servants, to preserve the teachings of the Quran practically. So those students who are memorizing the Quran or who are reciting the last verses of the Quran today and putting the whole Quran to memory, their parents, their families, they are worthy of congratulation. They are worthy of congratulation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen an individual from their families for this great work of preserving His kalam. Quran is the word of Allah. Quran is the kalam of Allah. No book that was revealed before the Quran can be called the word of Allah, the kalam of Allah. It is the book of Allah. It conveys the meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires. It is not exactly the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taurat, Zabur, Injil, and other books that were revealed before the Quran, they are not exact words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are words that convey the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is what Allah wants from you. It's like me saying to somebody that go and tell Maulana Yasir Sahib that he should lead the Asar Salat. These are my words. He should lead the Asar Salat. And the person goes and he says that he said you lead the Asar Salat. So he has conveyed my desire in his own words. He has not conveyed exactly my words. So all the books before the Quran cannot be called the Kalam of Allah. They can only be called the Kitab of Allah, the book of Allah. It is only the Quran that can be called the Kitab of Allah and also the Kalam of Allah. It has emanated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because it has emanated from the being and from the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has always been there and it will always remain. Because Allah has always been there and Allah will always remain. So if it is His kalam, then it cannot come into existence later. It has always been there and it will always remain. This is the quality of the Quran. That it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how fortunate are these families, from amongst whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen an individual to preserve the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enlightened an individual from your family with more than 6,000 verses of His kalam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What a great achievement. What a great achievement. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is he who learns the Quran and who teaches the Quran. Abu Abdul Rahman As-Sulami rahimahullahu ta'ala, who narrates this hadith from Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that it is this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has kept me in this one place just teaching the Quran. And for how many years did he teach the Quran? For 40 years. Before that he learned the Quran. And for 40 years continuously his engagement was only teaching the Quran. So he had heard this hadith direct from Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says that it is this hadith that has kept me in this place teaching the Quran for 40 years. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is that person who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. Learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. Nowadays, my friends, it is an unfortunate scenario that because we are not connected to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we should be, and it's a reality, we should accept this reality that we are not connected to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we really should. So we do not understand the valuable aspects of our deen and the harmful aspects of our deen. As far as worldly aspects are concerned, we understand that this is very, very profitable. This is very, very harmful. This is very important. This is insignificant. As far as worldly aspect, I have to attend this gathering. I have to attend this function. I have to go to this meeting because it's very important. I can sacrifice everything, but I cannot sacrifice this meeting. It's very important for me, for my business, for my work. It's very important. I have to attend this meeting. This is not very important. It's not really important. If I go, it's okay. If I don't go, it's okay. We can understand everything. But when it comes to deen, we fail to understand what is important, what is insignificant. We fail to understand what is valuable and what is not valuable. It is for this reason when a young child from our families memorizes the whole Quran, we feel happy. And we feel happy because he has done something good as far as the hereafter is concerned. That is as far as our thoughts go. That he has done something good. It's like somebody performing Umrah, somebody performing Hajj. He's done something good. He's done something good. It's a pious act. That's as far as we can go. We don't understand how important this child is in our family. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, "Man qara al-Qur'an," one who reads the Qur'an, "fastazharahu," thereafter he memorizes the Qur'an, "fahalla halalahu wa harrama haramahu," then he accepts halal as halal and he accepts haram as haram. So he will indulge in halal but not in haram. He will stay away from haram. So he will carry out the do's and he will abstain from the don'ts. He knows his permissible and impermissible borders. He will follow the teachings of the Quran. What will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him on the day of Qiyamah? أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah. What a great feat, completion of the Quran. Allah will grant him entry into Jannah. وَشَفَّعَهُ فِي عَشَرَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ كُلُّهُمْ قَدْ وَجَبَتْ لَهُمُ النَّارِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that choose 10 members of your family upon whom Jahannam has become compulsory. Choose 10 people from your family upon whom Jahannam is compulsory. Jahannam is imminent. His book of deeds, or their book of deeds, is so filthy that their going to Jahannam is definite. So Allah will say to the Hafiz that I am going to honor you today because you have memorized my Quran and you have understood the message of the Quran and you have practiced the message of the Quran. That choose, find 10 members of your family upon whom entry into Jannah is imminent and intercede for them through your intercession. I will grant all of them entry into Jannah. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is the one who learns the Qur'an and who teaches the Qur'an. We look down upon the ulama and the huffaz and the qurra who teach in madaris and makatib. We look down upon the evening madrasas. We look down upon the madaris, the darul ulum. Many of us say, what is the need for these madaris? What is the need for these makatib? There are so many makatib and madaris sprouting in our country. There are so many madaris makatib sprouting in one town. What is the need for two madrasa in one town? Three, four, five. Oh, what is the need? We should feel happy. We should feel happy. The more, the merrier. Alhamdulillah, you have one masjid. You have one masjid. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being worshipped five times a day in one place. You have two masjids. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend in two places. You have three masjids. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend in three places. You have only one masjid. In Ramadan al-Mubarak, the Quran will be completed in Taraweeh only in one place. And if you have seven masjids in your town, then in the month of Ramadan, in Taraweeh, the Quran will be completed into seven masajid. The barakat that descends. The barakat that descends. But we have been misled by so many factors around us to believe that ulama are doing nothing, huffaz are doing nothing, qurra are doing nothing, maktab, madrasa, waste of time. Some people say it's waste of time now, waste of time. Can we not have only weekend madrasa? Weekend madrasa. A syllabus of 7 years that requires teaching 5 days a week. Now, how can you compress that into a weekend madrasa? My friends, let us attach remain to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us give Quran, the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ilm of nubuwah, ilm of sharia importance. If we will give importance to the ilm of nubuwah, we will be able to give importance to the madaris. We will be able to give importance to the makatib. We will be able to give importance to the institutions where ilm of nubuwah is being taught. We will be able to give importance to the ulama, to the huffaz, to the qurra. We will be able to respect them. We will be able to honor them. We will be able to love them. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. The best amongst you, the best amongst the ummah, the best group of the ummah is that group that learns the Qur'an and teaches the Qur'an. Learns the Qur'an and teaches the Qur'an. And this learning and teaching, learning the teaching, learning, this process preserves the deen. It is our belief, every Muslim's belief, that our success of this world and the hereafter lies in following the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person cannot acquire success without the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If deen is not preserved by the ulama, how will we follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This deen was preserved by the ulama through the madaris and through the makatib. If deen is not preserved, how will we follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If makatib did not exist, right? Makatib means these evening part-time madrasas, if they did not exist, we would not be able to perform salat, we would not be able to perform wudu, we would not be able to carry out the basic obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if madaris did not exist, the darul ulooms did not exist, then if we faced a difficult situation in our lives as far as deen is concerned, we would not be able to get any guidance from anywhere. The ulama who run makatib, the ulama who run madaris, darul ulooms, darul iftas, ilmi and academic institutes, they are doing a great job because they are preserving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if deen is not preserved, we cannot practice deen. And if we are unable to practice deen, we cannot become successful in this world nor in the hereafter. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. There was a group of Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain who are academics. The likes of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu anhuma. These great companions, Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, male, female, both, Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they would seldom go in jihad. Seldom. Why? Because their occupation was only one. Learn and teach, learn and teach, learn and teach. Teach what you have learned, teach what you have learned. Allah says in the Quran, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْدَرُونَ. Allah says, everybody should not go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if everybody goes in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will pass on this deen to the coming generations? You need a group that sits at home and takes the deen from the older generation, preserve it and pass it on to the future generation. This institution must continue doing their job. Because if they do not engage in this work, then deen will not remain preserved. And this is exactly what the ulama and the huffaz and the qurra have been doing for the past 1400 years. Preserving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a very, very close companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He accepted Islam in the 7th year after Hijrah. So he came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the battle of Khaybar in the 7th year after Hijrah. And he stayed in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for only 3 years. But in 3 years, all he did was acquire ilm. And you pick up any book of hadith, the most hadith you will find being narrated by is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Muhaddith of the Ummah, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Day and night. He used to narrate so many hadith that even the companions, even the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain would talk amongst themselves, Aksar Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira is always saying, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. Is he the only one who spent time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Any topic we discuss, Abu Huraira says, I have the answer because I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. I know the answer because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. Aksar Abu Huraira. So Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, one day he became very emotional when somebody told him that people are saying this. So he got hold of one of the people who was saying this even during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, where did you perform your Isha Salat last night? So he said, in Masjid al-Nabawi. So Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala said, which surah did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite in the first rakat? And which surah did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite in the second rakat? So he said, I don't know. Because he wasn't paying attention. So Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala said, that is the difference between you and me. That you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without the will to acquire knowledge. And I see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention of acquiring knowledge. And I memorize everything. And it is for this reason I say, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. And I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. And you cannot say that because you are not memorizing anything. And he would say that people are saying, Abu Huraira has narrated so many ahadith. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this. He said, there are reasons for this. He said, one reason is that my Ansar friends, the Sahaba of Madina Munawara, my Ansari friends, they have their orchards to look after. They had their fields to look after because they were farmers. So they had their fields to look after, they had their orchards to look after. And my Muhajir friends, when they migrated from Makkah Mukarrama to Madina Munawara, they went into business, so they had businesses to look after. And as far as Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was concerned, he had no interest in the orchard, no interest in farming, no interest in trading. His only interest was to acquire ilm from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only thing that worried Abu Huraira was, he said, the only thing that worried Abu Huraira was, how can I fill my belly to the extent that I am able to survive? That was my only desire. All the time I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acquiring ilm. And he said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala noticed this zeal of mine, Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conferred me with special attention. And one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Abu Huraira, spread your sheet in front of me." So he said, "I spread my sheet in front of him, the sheet that was covering top part of my body." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited something and he blew in that sheet, or he said that he put his two palms together as if he was taking something, and he placed it in my sheet as if he was putting something. I could not see what he was putting in my sheet, but it was as if he was doing that. And then he said, "Oh Abu Huraira, put this sheet together and put it against your chest." He said that I put the sheet together and I put it against my chest. He said, from that day until today, whatever I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever I saw him do, I have never forgotten. Only engagement was ilm, ilm, ilm. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising Abu, "Ya Aba Hurairata, O Abu Huraira, ta'allamil Qur'an wa allimhu an-nas. O Abu Huraira, learn the Qur'an and teach it to others. O Abu Huraira, learn the Qur'an and teach it to others. O Abu Huraira, learn the Qur'an and teach it to others. وَلَا تَزَالُوا كَذَلِكَ حَتَّى يَاتِيَكَ الْمَوْتِ." And you should remain in this engagement of learning and teaching until death comes to you. Until death comes to you. You should remain in this engagement until death comes to you. You should never leave this engagement. وَلَا تَزَالُوا كَذَلِكَ حَتَّى يَاتِيَكَ الْمَوْتِ. And further the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنْ أَتَاكَ الْمَوْتُ وَأَنْتَ كَذَلِكَ. If death comes to you whilst you are engaged in this occupation, that means not practically engaged, but that is your engagement. You went to sleep at night and you passed away, that is whilst you are engaged in this engagement, because during the day you are teaching. So before retiring, if you die whilst you are engaged in this occupation, what will Allah grant you? Zaratil malaikatu qabraka kama yuzarul baytul atiq. Then the angels will visit your grave in such large number, such large number, that they will be equivalent to those people who visit Kaaba in Makkah Mukarramah. Millions of people visit Kaaba in Makkah Mukarramah. Millions of angels will come and visit your grave. Millions of angels will honor you. Millions of angels will descend from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with mercy. When? If you continue learning and teaching, learning and teaching, learning and teaching, learning and teaching. This was the occupation of great people like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, learning and teaching. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, learning and teaching. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, learning and teaching. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, learning and teaching. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, learning and teaching. These great personalities whose names we hear over and over again, and who all of us accept as the luminaries of the Muslim Ummah, learning, teaching, learning, teaching, learning, teaching. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent into this world as a teacher. He himself says, "Innama buistu mu'allima." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me as a teacher. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the work of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is his work? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. That he recites the verses of the Qur'an. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recites the verses of the Qur'an. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. And he teaches the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And he teaches the sunnah. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he purifies the hearts of the people. So he recites the verses of the Qur'an, and thereafter he explains the verses of the Qur'an through his words and through his actions, and he also shows ways to the individuals of the Ummah how to practice what he has taught to them. If they face any difficulty, for example, if he said that hasad is haram, and if a person was to come to him and say that, "I understand hasad is haram, jealousy is haram, but I can't get rid of jealousy from my heart." So the responsibility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not only to recite the verses of the Quran. His responsibility was not only to explain the verses of the Quran, his responsibility was also to guide them so that they are able to practice what he has taught them. And it is this that is called tazkiyah. Tazkiyah, the responsibility of a teacher in a madrasa, the responsibility of a ustad is to teach the words of the Quran. His responsibility is to teach the meaning of the Quran, what we learn in Durusul Fiqh or Talimul Haq or in the small books prepared for children. It is all from Quran and Hadith, derived by the ulama who have made it very easy for us. May Allah Ta'ala grant them best of rewards. So we learn in the madrasa. We learn that to become arrogant and to be proud is not permissible in Islam. But a person is unable to. It's not like washing urination. A person finds that urination is not pure, it's impure. What do you do if there is impurity on your clothes? You just take it and wash it. It becomes pure. You can do that very easily. But if a person's heart becomes impure with hasad, with jealousy, if a person's heart becomes impure with pride or arrogance, it is not easy to wash the heart. So how can he purify his heart from arrogance? How can he purify his heart from hatred for his Muslim brother? How can he purify his heart from stinginess, miserliness? How can he purify his heart from unlawful love? He has fallen in love with somebody and it's not permissible. Then this is where the mashayikh comes in, tazkiyah. This was also responsibility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He teaches them how to purify their hearts. So my friends, we need to, first and foremost, instill in our hearts the reverence, greatness and love for the ilm of Nubuwwah. And it's very simple. All we have to do is that ilm of Nubuwwah is that ilm which has come direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm of Nubuwwah means it is the ilm of the Quran. Ilm of Nubuwwah means it is the ilm of Hadith. Ilm of Nubuwwah means it is the ilm of Sharia. And once a person begins to think from this aspect that ilm is something that has come direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. It has come direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has mentioned so many virtues for ilm. So many virtues for ilm. Ilm is this, ilm is that. Those who acquire ilm are like this. Those with ilm are like this. Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. Ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. Ulama are the deputies of the anbiya alayhi wasallam. They are the inheritors of the anbiya alayhi wasallam. After the departure of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ulama take his place. They do his work. Because his work was to teach the words of the Quran, teach ilm, convey the message of the Quran, and also guide the ummah to practice upon what he has taught. This is what the ulama have been doing for the past 1400 years. This is what they are doing now, and this is what they will continue to do in the future also until the day of Qiyamah. So think about all the virtues of ilm. And as soon as the greatness of ilm sets in our hearts, then automatically anything associated to ilm, its greatness will set in our hearts. Very easy. Ilm is great, so the place where ilm is taught has to be great. Ilm is great, so the one teaching ilm has to be great. Ilm is great, so the one learning ilm has to be great. Let us instill in our hearts the love for ilm. Inshallah, if we instill in our hearts love for ilm and reverence for ilm, and if this leads to reverence and love for ulama, reverence and love for madaris, reverence and love for makatib, reverence and love for the students, this will become a means of our forgiveness on the day of Qiyamah. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was once performing wuzu at a river bank. And another person came, he also wanted to perform wuzu. So the flow of the river was from right to left or from left to right. So if the flow of the river was from right to left, this person sat on the right of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala to perform wudu at a distance, because he had respect for Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, a very great scholar, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. All his life he spent in learning, teaching. And my friends, this teaching, when a person teaches, this is tabligh. What is the meaning of tabligh? The meaning of tabligh is to convey. Convey deen. So when a person is teaching 10 students, he is conveying. When a teacher is teaching Bukhari Sharif, in 1 year he conveys the whole of Bukhari Sharif to 40 students. And if it's a institute like Darul Uloom Deoband or Saharanpur or Darul Uloom Karachi, then the teacher of Bukhari Sharif in 1 year conveys the whole of Bukhari Sharif with commentary to 400 students, 500 students, 600 students. This is also a form of tabligh. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, throughout his life, throughout learning and conveying, when he was in his 70s, somebody saw him with papers and ink pot and pen, according to those days, going somewhere in his old age, frail, old. So somebody said, Ila Mata ibn Hanbal. Somebody said, Oh, Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, until when are you going to remain a student? You are going with papers and ink pot and pen to acquire ilm. Where are you going? For how long are you going to continue? When are you going to graduate? When are you going to... He said, Ma'al mihbarati ila al-makhbarati. He said, I will continue acquiring ilm until I go into the graveyard. There, the zeal of the ulama was to acquire as much as possible from the superiors and pass on as much as possible to the juniors. Take it from seniors and pass on to juniors. Here Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his old age is taking. He said, I will continue taking. Although I am a great alim, but if I know that there is something I can learn from you, I always learn. Take. And Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, his life gives us another insight. In the zeal they had to pass on. One of his students came to know that Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi is seriously ill, so he went to see him. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, how are you? Alhamdulillah. And after exchanging salam, after asking how are you and alhamdulillah, he posed a question to his student. He is on his deathbed. And he is not talking about his wife, that look after my wife after I die. You are a very close student of mine. Look after my affairs, look after my children, look after my home, look after my madrasa. No. He says that I have a question for you. What is that question? He said that in which state is performing Rami Afdal? Whilst on foot or whilst on camel? So when you are pelting the shaitan, which is more better? Not further wajib, he is talking about just preference. Which is more better? Whilst on the camel you pelt, or you get off the camel and whilst on foot you pelt? So the student said, I said to him that whilst on camel. So Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah said, Akhtata, wrong. So he said, there was only one choice left. So he said, whilst on foot. He said, you are wrong again. You are wrong again. So he said, then can you tell me what is the right answer? I got confused. That not on camel, not on foot. So he said, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi said, that every rami that is followed by another rami, it is more virtuous to pelt whilst on foot. And every rami which is not followed by a rami, for example, on the 10th of Zulhijjah, the first day of rami, you only pelt the big shaitan. So it is not followed by another rami. So any rami that is not followed by another rami, it is more virtuous to do it whilst on the camel. And any rami that is followed by another rami, for example, on the second day, small shaitan followed by the middle shaitan followed by the big shaitan. So this, it is more virtuous to do it on foot. And then the big shaitan followed by no rami on that particular day. So it is more virtuous on... So the student says that I thought to myself that I have come to see my ustad, and I am exhausting him because he has gone into academic discussion, and it does not befit me to keep him in this discussion. So I said, Hazrat, you rest, can I take leave? He said, okay, you may leave. He said, when I reached the door, after saying assalam, when I reached the door, the announcement was made from inside the house that Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi has departed from this world. So on one side you have Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, who is taking. On the other side you have Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, who is giving. This was their 24-hour. This was their 24-hour engagement. Take, and give. There was a student of Deen, a muhaddis, and he was a tradesman also. So he went for business from his country to another country, or from his city to another city. It was a long journey. And he went with the intention of staying there for one whole year and acquire ilm from the mashayikh there, and thereafter purchase goods, return and sell. So he remained for one whole year and he acquired ilm from the mashayikh there. And after completing his 1 year of study, he decided to return to his hometown. So he purchased the goods. In those days, a person would take all the money he had, he would purchase from another country and he would bring back the goods and he would sell and make profit. So he purchased all the goods, and for the goods that he had purchased, he had hired camels also. And he was ready to travel. Everything was ready. Tomorrow he is going. And the thought occurred to him that this is my last day, and if I get the opportunity, I should perform Salatul Tahajjud in the company of my favorite ustad in this country, in this town. And Allah granted him the opportunity, so he performed Salat with his ustad. And he saw his teacher do something new on that particular day, which he had never come across in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he was very, very eager to know this, that why did the ustad do this? So after the completion of the tahajjud, just before fajr or maybe after fajr, he said to the teacher that, Shaykh, I saw you do something today which I have never seen you do before, and regarding which I have never heard any alim mention any hadith. So if you have a hadith on this, can you please narrate it to me? So for some reason or other, the ustad, he uttered this sentence, Wallahi la uhaddisuka bihi sanatan. He said, by Allah, I will only narrate the hadith in regard to this action after 1 year. He said, by Allah, I take oath of Allah that I will only narrate this hadith after 1 year. Now think for a moment, my friends. He has bought all these goods. To return the goods, he will have to make loss. He had hired so many camels. To cancel that, he will have to make a loss. And it's only a matter of one hadith. What did he do? He did not insist upon his teacher, because it is against etiquette. He cancelled his trip. He wrote a letter to his family that I will come back after 1 year. And he remained in that city for one whole year. And he did not remind his teacher regarding that hadith at all. And when the whole year passed, he said, Shaykh, on this date I asked you this question, and you said that by Allah, I will only narrate that hadith to you after 1 year. It is 1 year today. Can you please narrate that hadith to me? And he heard that hadith and then he left. It's very easy for me and you to say, my friends, what have the ulama done for the ummah? What are the ulama doing for the ummah? If we write to Mufti Taqi Usmani, Hafidhahullahu Ta'ala, or if we write to any Darul Ifta in the UK as well, we get an answer of one line. Sometimes it's permissible. It's not permissible. And we complain that it took him 3 months to give me reply. It took him 1 month to give me reply. We don't know how much research he had to go through just to come to that conclusion. It's not easy that you write an answer and you say, to the best of my ability, that was the answer and I apologize. I'm sorry. No, he is answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So until he is sure, he cannot give fatwa. Even today, day and night, they research. It's not easy. The work of the ulama is not easy, my friends. It's not easy at all. To teach in this makatib, evening makatib, it's not easy at all. Just go in a classroom in the maktab where these ulama are teaching. Teaching in a darulum is more easier than teaching in the maktab. Because in darulum you have to go through extensive research to prepare the lesson. But at least the students know how to behave. They are mature students, they respect the Ustad. And they will do anything for the Ustad. But the Maktab, evening Maktab, where these ulama are teaching students from the age of 4, 5 to the age of 15, 16, very, very difficult task. Very, very difficult task. And they don't do this for money, or they don't do this because they enjoy. They do this only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has put this thought in their mind that because you are an alim, because you are a hafiz, because you are a qari, Allah has granted you this opportunity to serve the deen and make Allah happy. So carry on, in order to preserve deen, Allah has put this thought in their mind that though, because I am an alim, even if I go to the factory during the day, at least I should teach for 2 hours in the evening. This is thought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if these very ulama were to occupy themselves in other activities for 2 hours daily, they would earn more money and more peacefully as well. And now, alhamdulillah, majority of the ulama who are homegrown, they have qualifications as well. They can do so many other things outside. But no, only it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is granting them this tawfiq to carry out. So what I was saying, my friends, is that this was the zeal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi said that, no, I will continue until I go to the grave. And what was his amal like? Amal. In his 70s, he went for cupping. So somebody said to him that you are old and cupping is not healthy for you. Because if the blood is extracted, you will become very weak. It could become fatal for you. So he said that I have acquired thousands of ahadith in my life. And there is not a single hadith that I have acquired from my teacher which I have not practiced upon. Not a single hadith which I have not practiced. So he said, I have come across this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Abu Taiba, who was expert in cupping, and he said he asked him to do his cupping and he gave him 1 dinar. Now 1 dinar was big sum as far as the profession of cupping was concerned in those. 1 dinar, 1 gold coin. So he said, I also want to practice on this hadith. So he went and he got his cupping done and he also gave 1 dinar. Practice. Whatever they learned, they practice. Now, there was a very great, very big muhaddis. So he went to the masjid to perform his salat with his son, and a junior muhaddis who was learning from him, he was the imam of the masjid. And he came to lead the salat in the state of ihram. He had 1 sheet tied at the bottom, 1 sheet at the top. So after the salat, when the senior muhaddis returned home, his son said, is our imam sahib going for umrah? So the senior muhaddis said, no, he is not going for umrah. So he said, why he is not wearing his izhar today? Why not jubba today? Why did he come in the 2 sheets in ihram? So he said that he is my student. And whatever hadith he comes across, he always practices. And today when he came to learn hadith from me, I taught him 1 hadith wherein the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lead us in salah in Masjid Nabawi whilst 1 sheet at the bottom of his body and the other sheet at the top of his body. So that is why he has come to lead his musallis in salah today in this state, so that he is able to carry out amal on this hadith. So my friends, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will honor ulama. And I will conclude with the incident of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi that I will mention it. Great scholar of his time. So if the flow of the river was from right to left, this person came and he sat down on the right of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi, and he saw Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi performing wudu. And he was just about to dip his hands in the water when he pulled his hands back. And he thought to himself that if I perform wudu here, I am an ordinary Muslim. Now my used water will flow past Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi who is performing wudu. And he will use my used water. It is against respect of a great alim like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. So it is better for me to move away from this side and go on to the other side, so that the water being used by this very pious alim can flow by me and I get the blessing of using that water. So he moved on to the other side. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah continued performing wudu there. He continued performing wudu there. He did not say anything to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh did not even notice what had happened. This person passed away. After he passed away, somebody saw him in a dream. And this person asked him that, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all my sins. And all the good deeds that I had performed, that all remained in bonus. Only one deed took me into Jannah. One deed gave me the whole Jannah. What was that? He said, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi's respect. I respected Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you respected Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal because of my ilm, so I will grant you entry into Jannah. So those families, those children who are completing the glorious Quran, alhamdulillah, four girls are completing the Quran here today in this gathering, and two boys. It is so heartwarming. Four girls have completed the Quran, Allahu Akbar. Four girls and two boys in a small town like Chorli. Six individuals are completing the Quran. They are very, very fortunate. Very, very fortunate. And the families are very, very fortunate as well. I congratulate the children, I congratulate the families, I congratulate all those who have assisted in these children coming to this stage. I also congratulate the Ar-Rahma Academy, and I make dua for Ar-Rahma Academy, for the madrasa that is running here, for all the madaris throughout the country, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of them. May Allah preserve and safeguard the ulama and the mashayikh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to revere ilm and anything associated to ilm. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to become talibul ilm also. I urge all of you, my friends, to make an intention today that I will also remain a student from today. Remain a student like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh until you breathe our last. And all you have to do is, I want to become a student. How do you become a student? By taking enrollment in the madrasa of your imam. The dars that he imparts, any alim you are inclined to, at least once a week participate. Maybe the bayan before Juma. So say to yourself that I am also a student and my class every week is before Juma. I am also a student, my class every week is every Wednesday after Isha when dars-e-Quran takes place. And continue until you breathe your last. Allah will resurrect you amongst the ulama, inshallah. Because you will die as a talibul ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the nikah also. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد حمدا لا منتهى له دون مشيتك ولك الحمد حمدا لا يريد به قائله إلا رضاك
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان، واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين، وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك، ولا تنسنا ذكرك، ولا تهتك عنا سترك، ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قبورنا. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم، واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا، وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا، وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار، واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وهمومنا، وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جنات النعيم. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما، یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما، عفو و عافیت کا معاملہ فرما، فضل و عنایت کا معاملہ فرما، حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما. ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما، ہماری سیئات کو معاف فرما، ہماری سیئات کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ معاف فرما، اے اللہ معاف فرما، اے اللہ معاف فرما. اے اللہ ہم گناہوں میں ڈوبے ہوئے ہیں، الہ العالمین ہمارے جسم کا رواں رواں تیرا نافرمان ہے، بال بال تیرا نافرمان ہے. الہ العالمین ہمارے ہاتھ گناہوں کی وجہ سے اس قدر گندے ہیں کہ وہ اس قابل نہیں کہ تیرے در پہ پھیلائے جائیں. الہ العالمین ہماری زبانیں تیری معصیت میں اس طرح لتک رہی ہیں کہ وہ اس قابل نہیں کہ تیرے دربار میں کچھ عرض کر سکیں. الہ العالمین ہماری آنکھیں تیری نافرمانی میں ایسی مبتلا رہی ہیں کہ ان سے بہنے والے آنسو اس قابل نہیں کہ تیرے در پر پیش کیے جائیں. اے اللہ ہم سر سے پیر تک سراپا گنہگار ہیں. الہ العالمین ہمیں اعتراف ہے کہ ہم خطا ہی خطا ہے، مگر اے اللہ تو عطا ہی عطا ہے. اے اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دے، ہمیں معاف فرما دے، ہمیں معاف فرما دے. یا ارحم الراحمین قرآن تیرا کلام ہے. الہ العالمین آسمان و زمینوں سے زیادہ تیری نظر میں تیرا کلام محبوب ہے. الہ العالمین جو کلام پاک کی تلاوت کرتا ہے، الہ العالمین ناظرہ تلاوت کر کے ختم کرتا ہے، الہ العالمین تو ایسے شخص کی دعا کو قبول کرتا ہے. الہ العالمین یہاں تو یہ چھوٹے چھوٹے معصوم چھ بچیوں بچوں نے الہ العالمین قرآن کو حفظاً مکمل کیا ہے. الہ العالمین پتہ نہیں یہاں تک پہنچنے کے لیے انہوں نے کتنی مرتبہ تیری قرآن کی تکرار کی ہے.
اے اللہ ان کے اس عمل کی لاج رکھ کر ہم گنہگاروں کو معاف فرما دے, الہ العالمین معاف فرما دے اے اللہ تیری معافی کو, الہ العالمین تیری مغفرت کو ہماری طرف متوجہ کرنے کے لیے ہمارے پاس کوئی چیز نہیں ہے. الہ العالمین ان بچوں کے عمل کو ہم تیرے دربار میں پیش کرتے ہیں, الہ العالمین ان کے اس عمل کی برکت سے ہم گنہگاروں کو معاف کر دے الہ العالمین معاف کر دے. اے اللہ سچی پکی توبہ کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین ہم تیرے گھر میں بیٹھ کر ارادہ کرتے ہیں, پکا ارادہ کرتے ہیں آئندہ کوئی گناہ نہیں کریں گے. اگر شیطان اور نفس کے بہکاوے سے کوئی گناہ ہو جائے گا فوراً توبہ کر دیں گے. اے اللہ معاف کر دے. اے اللہ دور دور سے لوگ آئے ہوئے ہیں, مسافروں کی دعا کو تو قبول کرتا ہے. الہ العالمین علماء بھی بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں, بزرگان دین بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں, الہ العالمین نیک لوگ بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں, تیرے دین کے لیے جدوجہد کرنے والے بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں, سفید ریش بزرگ بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں, عورتیں ہیں, بچے ہیں. الہ العالمین کوئی تو ان میں ہوگا جو تیرے دربار میں مقبول ہوگا. اے اللہ اس کی آمین کی اجلاج رکھ کر ہم سب کو مقبول بنا دے, ہم سب کو مقبول بنا دے. الہ العالمین ختم قرآن کے موقع پر دعائیں قبول ہوتی ہیں اس لالچ میں. الہ العالمین یہ تیرے بندے, تیری بندیاں دور دور سے آئے ہیں اور بہت امیدوں کے ساتھ تیرے در پر ہاتھ پھیلائے بیٹھے ہیں. الہ العالمین ہمیں خالی ہاتھ نہ لوٹا. اگر تو نے میرا مقدر نہ بدلا, بتا پھر یہ کامل نظر کس لیے ہے؟ اگر تیرے دیوانے یوں لوٹ جائے, یہ در کس لیے ہے؟ یہ گھر کس لیے ہے؟ الہ العالمین ہماری جھولیوں کو بھر دے. الہ العالمین ہماری جھولیوں کو بھر دے. ہمیں محرومی سے بچا لے, ہمیں شکاوت سے بچا لے, ہمیں پکڑ سے بچا لے, ہمیں ناراضگی سے بچا لے, ہمیں تیرے غصے سے بچا لے, تیری لعنت سے بچا لے, تیری رحمت کی دوری سے بچا لے, تیرے عذاب سے بچا لے. الہ العالمین تیری جہنم سے بچا لے, قیامت کے دن کی سختیوں سے بچا لے. الہ العالمین نام اعمال کے دائیں ہاتھ میں دیے جانے سے بچا لے, قبر کے عذاب سے بچا لے, برے حشر سے بچا لے, بری موت سے بچا لے. الہ العالمین ہر قسم کے فتنے سے بچا لے. اے اللہ معصیت سے بچا لے, تیری نافرمانی سے بچا لے, تیری ناراض کرنے والی ہر نقل و حرکت سے بچا لے. اے اللہ اپنے محبوب بندوں میں شامل فرما لے, اپنے ولیوں میں شامل فرما لے, اپنی محبت عطا فرما, اپنے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی محبت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین اپنا قرب خاص نصیب فرما, رضائل سے پاک فرما, خسائل سے آراستہ فرما. الہ العالمین خسائل سے آراستہ فرما, خسائل سے آراستہ فرما. الہ العالمین ویسا بنا دے جیسا تو ہمیں دیکھنا چاہتا ہے. الہ العالمین علم کی, علماء کی, مدارس کی, مراکز علمیہ کی قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین اس سلسلے میں اب تک جو کوتاہیاں ہوئی ہیں معاف فرما دے, اس کے انجبار کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, مسلمانوں نے عالم کی حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین جہاں جہاں مسلمان پریشان حال ہے ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما, ممالک اسلامیہ پر اپنی رحمت نازل فرما, انہیں اچھے حکمران نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین ظلم کا خاتمہ فرما. الہ العالمین ظلم کے اسباب کا خاتمہ فرما. الہ العالمین امن کو عام فرما, امن کے اسباب کو عام فرما. الہ العالمین رحم فرما دے, کرم فرما دے. الہ العالمین تیرے محبوب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت دنیا کے کونے کونے میں پٹ رہی ہے. الہ العالمین ہمیں اعتراف ہے کہ یہ سب کچھ ہمارے تجھ سے دور ہونے کی وجہ سے ہو رہا ہے, لیکن یا رب العالمین ہم جیسے بھی ہیں تیرا کلمہ پڑھتے ہیں, بہت گندے ہیں, مگر الہ العالمین تیرے بندے ہیں, ہار ہیں, بدکار ہیں, ڈوبے ہوئے ذلت میں ہیں, کچھ بھی ہیں لیکن تیرے محبوب کی امت میں ہے. اے اللہ اس نسبت کی لاج رکھ لے اور ہماری حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین قدم قدم پہ برکت نصرت رحمت نازل فرما. الہ العالمین اپنے محبوب دین کو عزت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین اس دین پر چلنے والوں کو عزت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین ذلت سے بچا لے. الہ العالمین تیری نصرت کے اترنے کے لیے، امن کے عام ہونے کے لیے، ظلم کے خاتمے کے لیے الہ العالمین جن جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے غیب سے انتظام فرما، غیب سے انتظام فرما، غیب سے انتظام فرما الہ العالمین. آج جو نکاح ہوا ہے اس میں خوب خیر و برکت پیدا فرما، دلہا دلہن میں محبت نصیب فرما، الفت والی، انس والی، اتفاق والی، اتحاد والی انہیں زندگی عطا فرما الہ العالمین، تیری رضا والی زندگی عطا فرما، دونوں کو ایک دوسرے کے حقوق کی ادائیگی کی توفیق عطا فرما، اس نکاح کو اولاد صالح کے وجود میں آنے کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین، گناہوں سے بچنے کا ذریعہ بنا، دین میں، دین کی طرح خدمت میں ترقی کا ذریعہ بنا اے ارحم الراحمین، ان دونوں کو، ان کی ہونے والی اولاد کو، دونوں خاندانوں کے لیے آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک کا ذریعہ بنا اے ارحم الراحمین. جن بچوں نے، جن بچیوں نے قرآن کی حفظ کی تکمیل کی ہے الہ العالمین انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما، انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما، انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما الہ العالمین، انہیں امت کے قائدین میں شامل فرما، انہیں علماء ربانیین میں شامل فرما، انہیں اولیاء امت میں شامل فرما، انہیں محدثین میں، مفسرین میں، قراء میں، داعیوں میں شامل فرما، مرتے دم تک الہ العالمین قرآن مجید کو حفظاً یاد رکھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین، انہیں قرآن کے معانی سمجھنے والا بنا دے، اس پہ عمل کرنے والا بنا دے الہ العالمین، دوسروں کو پہنچانے والا بنا دے اے ارحم الراحمین، انہیں اپنے ماں باپ کی آنکھوں کے لیے ٹھنڈک بنا دے الہ العالمین، آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا دے اے ارحم الراحمین، آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا دے الہ العالمین، ان کے خاندان میں سے جو جو مرحومین ہیں الہ العالمین، ان کے اس عمل کو قبول فرما کر آج ان کی مغفرت فرما دے، ان کی مغفرت فرما دے. بالخصوص الہ العالمین ہمارے استاد محترم حضرت قاری اسماعیل صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کے درجات کو بلند فرما، انہیں جو اپنی جوار رحمت میں جگہ عطا فرما، جنت الفردوس میں اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما الہ العالمین، انہوں نے اس بچے کے پیچھے جو محنت کی ہے اسے قبول فرما الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین، اپنی بارگاہ میں انہیں اس بچے کے تکمیل کی وجہ سے خوشیاں نصیب فرما اے ارحم الراحمین، اے ارحم الراحمین، اے ارحم الراحمین، ان کی جو اچھی اچھی خصلتیں تھیں، خوبیاں تھیں، وہ الہ العالمین ان کی خونی اولاد میں اور ان کی علمی اور روحانی اولاد میں منتقل فرما دے اے ارحم الراحمین، ان سب کو ان کے لیے صدقہ جاریہ بنا دے اے ارحم الراحمین، ان بچوں کو، ان بچوں کو تقوی والا بنا دے، دیندار بنا دے الہ العالمین، قرآن کی عزت بلند کرنے والا بنا دے اے ارحم الراحمین، جن جن لوگوں نے ان کے پیچھے محنتیں کی ہیں سب کو قبول فرما، ان کے رشتہ داروں کو، ان کے ماں باپ کو، ان کے اساتذہ کو، ملتزمین کو قبول فرما الہ العالمین، الرحمہ اکیڈمی کو بھی بے انتہا قبول فرما الہ العالمین، اس کو جن جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے اس کا غیب سے انتظام فرما الہ العالمین، جو کچھ ہوا ہے تیرے فضل سے ہوا ہے، جو ہو رہا ہے تیرے فضل سے ہوگا، ہو رہا ہے جو ہوگا تیرے فضل سے ہوگا الہ العالمین، ماری تنگی سے انہیں نجات عطا فرما الہ العالمین، ماری تنگی سے انہیں نجات عطا فرما، ماری تنگی سے انہیں نجات عطا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین، لوگوں کے قلوب کو ان کی طرف متوجہ فرما دے الہ العالمین، انہیں کسی کا محتاج نہ بنا الہ العالمین، صرف اپنے در کا محتاج بنا الہ العالمین، برکتوں کے دروازے کھول دے، برکتوں کے دروازے کھول دے، برکتوں کے دروازے کھول دے، رحمتوں کے دروازے کھول دے اے ارحم الراحمین. جس مسجد میں ہم بیٹھے ہوئے، اس مسجد میں، یہاں اس کے تحت جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں الہ العالمین، تعلیمی لائن کے، تبلیغی لائن کے الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین روحانی لائن کے، ان سب میں برکت نصیب فرما الہ العالمین، اس کو ہدایت کا گہوارہ بنا دے الہ العالمین، چورڑی میں رہنے والے سب مسلمانوں کو اتفاق کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما، ایک اور نیک بنا دے، شیر و شکر بنا دے اے ارحم الراحمین. ہم میں سے جو جو بیمار ہے انہیں شفا کاملہ، عاجلہ، مستمرہ، دائمہ نصیب فرما، ظاہری، باطنی، جسمانی، روحانی تمام بیماریوں سے نجات عطا فرما الہ العالمین. جن کے مقدر میں بیماریاں لکھی جا چکی ہیں الہ العالمین، انہیں صبر کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما اے ارحم الراحمین، انہیں صبر و اجر عطا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین. جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما، جو مصیبت زدہ ہے انہیں عافیت عطا فرما، جو بھی اولاد ہے اولاد صالح عطا فرما، اولاد والوں کو اولاد کی طرف سے آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک نصیب فرما الہ العالمین. جو بے گھر ہیں انہیں وسعت والے مکانات نصیب فرما، جن گھروں میں تنگیاں ہیں انہیں دور فرما اے ارحم الراحمین، جن خاندانوں میں ناچاکیاں ہیں ختم فرما اے ارحم الراحمین، اے ارحم الراحمین، اے ارحم الراحمین، اے ارحم الراحمین. فضل کا معاملہ فرما، کرم کا معاملہ فرما الہ العالمین. جو جو حضرات تیرے دین کی سربلندی کے لیے جس جس لائن کا کام کر رہے ہیں الہ العالمین، انہیں قبول فرما الہ العالمین. ہمارے بھائی جو یورپ کے دوسرے ملک سے آئے ہوئے ہیں الہ العالمین ان کے لیے بھی آسانیاں پیدا فرما، الہ العالمین ان کے کام کی طرف لوگوں کے قلوب کو متوجہ فرما دے، اپنے خزانے غیب سے الہ العالمین ان کی ضرورتیں پوری فرما، پورے عالم میں الہ العالمین دین کے جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں ان کے لیے جن جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے سب کا غیب سے انتظام فرما، سبھی کو الہ العالمین ایک اور نیک بنا دے، شیر و شکر بنا دے، ایک دوسرے کا احترام کرنے والا بنا دے، الہ العالمین آپس کی رنجشوں کو ختم فرما، آپس کی رنجشوں کو ختم فرما، آپس کی رنجشوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، شیطان و نفس کے مقاعد سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، ظاہر کی باطن کی اصلاح فرما، ہمیں اپنی محبت اپنی معرفت عطا فرما، یا ارحم الراحمین آپ کے محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جن بھلائیوں کی دعا مانگی تھی وہ ساری بھلائیاں عطا فرما، جن برائیوں سے پناہ مانگی تھی ان ساری برائیوں سے پناہ عطا فرما، یا ارحم الراحمین ہمارے ماں باپ ہمارے اساتذہ ہمارے مشائخ میں سے جو جو زندہ ہیں الہ العالمین ان کو رفع درجات نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین ان کے ٹھنڈے میٹھے سائے کو ہم لوگوں پر دادیر قائم فرما، الہ العالمین ان کو نیک اعمال کی توفیق عطا فرما، ان کے علوم میں ان کے خلوص میں ان کے فیوز میں، الہ العالمین ان کی دینی خدمات میں برکت پیدا فرما، الہ العالمین وقت آخر احتیاج کے بغیر الہ العالمین انہیں ولایت اور صدیقیت کے مقام سے سرفراز فرما، الہ العالمین جو تیری بارگاہ میں آ چکے ہیں انہیں الہ العالمین ہماری طرف سے جزائے خیر عطا فرما، اپنی جواری رحمت میں بلند درجات عطا فرما، یا ارحم الراحمین جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے، جو ہم سے متوقع ہیں، جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے، جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں محبت رکھتے ہیں، خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ اساتذہ مشائخ دوست احباب حاضرین مجلس شرکائے مجلس سبھی کے تمام جائز دین مقاصد کو پورا فرما، ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم، رب اغفر وارحم وانت خیر الراحمین، سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین وآخر دعوانا ان الحمد للہ رب العالمین برحمتک یا ارحم